Well, you know, I just, we kind of skipped over your term as foreman there.
Oh yeah,
and just when you were foreman, you would have seen the changes in the new machinery coming in, and
Oh yeah, sure.
You would have overseen all of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, the machinery. Under Cusack now, the mill went from being a small mill to a much larger mill and much faster and modern in every way. You know, it was doing great. It was doing great.
And so the men that worked in your department,
yeah,
you worked well with them.
Oh, we did.
You just went through.
We all worked well together, yeah. No, we did.
Yeah, and so was there ever, did you come together and have a plan, a five-year plan?
No, nothing like that.
It was day after day.
That's right. But I think one of the mistakes they made was in opening the pulp mill.
Why?
They opened the pulp mill. Well, the story goes that under the Fianna Fáil government now, back when they got into power in, 1932 or something, they built a lot of forestries around the country. The story was like reforestation, because we'd very little timber in Ireland, you know, compared to the other countries in Europe. So they built these forests all around the country. Some of them, you see them still. But they put the wrong type of timber into them. You couldn't do anything with the timber. It's all these, you know, evergreen timbers, you know, what they call pine and that sort of stuff. And those forests were all coming to their, you know, to the stage where they should be getting cut down now. And this is the story we all heard. And the government that was in power at the time wanted to try and get rid of all this timber. They were all being left with all this timber the Fianna Fáil had planted. Now, nobody wanted it. So this is the story we heard. And they helped Clondalkin and paper mills anyway to build a pulp mill. And the pulp mill was built in my time there, you know. It didn't start building the pulp mill until, I say it was about 1960 something, before they started building the pulp mill. They built the pulp mill and they started using this timber, Irish timber. And they were grinding the timber. They had a huge big grinding stone and it was called groundwood. There's various ways of making pulp, and one way is groundwood. Another way is mechanical, and that means you tear the timber with all types of knives and that like that. And there's another place they call chemical pulp. You steep it in various chemicals. But the groundwood turned out to be, the pulp that it makes is very too fine, and therefore it's not really suitable for making paper. It's only suitable for as a filler. You know, you could have a big tank full of the correct type of pulp, and you could add this groundwood to it to make paper.
Okay.
But the groundwood on its own didn't make paper, didn't make good paper. The fibres are too short. Now, I'm not a paper maker, and I don't know much about this. I heard all this at the time, though, you know.
It was fascinating, yes. But
Then we started, they were cutting the timber into short lengths by an electric saws, but they decided to build a big plant for getting, you know, for developing this timber, cutting it shorter. And they built this huge big concrete affair and a gigantic big, what would I call it?
Wheel, I suppose.
Wheel. No, not just big long, it's hard to describe.
Or belts, is it?
A slatted wheel in the centre of it. And these guys came from, it was a Swedish idea, and they used these in Sweden. They called them drum barkers. And two guys came from Sweden to erect it. And they were only there a day or two. And one of these Swedes, I was at that time, I was the foreman over putting all this thing up, you know. But these two Swedes were doing the job. Their fitters were helping them, you know. And one of these Swedes could speak a bit of English, very little though. And he was talking to me one day, and he picked up a piece of our timber, you know. And he threw it up in the air. He said, "Irish timber," he said, "no good." I said, "Why?" He said, "Swedish timber, Irish timber, no use." He said, "One truck of Swedish timber, three trucks Irish timber." He was telling me this now in his
really?
Language.
Yeah.
The Irish timber, you see, matures for in about 10 or 12 years. But the Swedish timber takes about 40 years to mature. So it's a much closer grain. And this is what this Swede was telling me. Actually, the Swede's name was Gunnar. That was his name. That's a very common, that's like Nick in Ireland. But that was his name, Gunnar. And he told me quite a bit about Sweden and all this kind of thing, you know. But he said the timber matures much slower in Sweden. And therefore, it's much more tightly packed. You don't need as much of it because it's so tightly packed. And we were using the wrong kind, the wrong type of timber, as he said, you know.
And because the government in the 1960s decided to go ahead and do all this plantation.
That's right.
And with the wrong...
That's the way the story I got. And anyway, they were also using the wrong machine. They were grinding the pulp down. And they stopped doing that then, and they got another machine. And this was an American machine, a prototype. I can't remember what it was called now, but it consists of two gigantic electric motors. Each motor was 3,500 horsepower. Two gigantic electric motors and feeding a series of, what would I call them, wheels inside fitted with knives. And the timber went in and pressed in together and all of that and was shredded. It was a better type of
system.
Better system, better timber.
Yeah.
But by that time, that was within about 2 years of the mill closing down, you know.
And it was too late then.
And we were now in the EEC in Ireland, you know.
Yeah.
I think the decision had been made, get out of the business altogether. They closed it down.
It used a lot of electricity.
Oh, did it? Use electricity? Like I thought you had your own generator powering.
Oh no, small. We had three steam turbines there. We were only using one of them though. Two of them weren't much good, and the one we were using was generating a little bit of our electricity, very little. It wouldn't even run one paper machine now, the amount of electricity we were generating.
There must have been a lot of electricity used then.
The
ESP bill at the end of the week.
That's right, We had three boilers, big boilers. One of them was a huge one. It had a pressure of 750 pounds per square inch. And it was driving the big turbine. Okay. But we had two other turbines. The idea was the steam would go from... through the big turbine, operate that, generate some electricity, then go from that into the smaller turbine at 250 pounds per square inch, generate more electricity, then go into the third turbine, and this time it was only about maybe 50 to 100 pounds of pressure. It would lose pressure going through the turbines, but it was generating electricity all the time. But eventually they decided just to let the two of them shut, and they just used the big turbine.
Sorry.
Two paper machines. One of them was called the Fourdrinier machine. That's a French name. Yeah. Consisted of about 22, I think it was, cylinders. Each cylinder weighed about 5 ton, and there was the full width of the machine, which is about 10 to 12 foot across. I forget exactly the width. I did know it one time. And the paper went through those. There was a felt, a special felt went around, and that guided the paper around these cylinders and came out the far end. The other machine was a much shorter machine because it had a gigantic big cylinder. It was called a machine glazed. The paper went through about three or four smaller cylinders and then up around this big cylinder, and it did the same job as was being done on the other machine with about 24 cylinders.
I see.
Are you with me on all that?
I am, yes.
One machine would be, say, that length. The other was that length. But they both produced about the same amount of
paper.
Yeah. And they bought a new cylinder.
This was the big one that you had to break the wall to get in.
And I happened to be over in England. I had been sent over there to look into grinding or something, I forget. The company that was... I was sent over to the company that were actually making this new cylinder, and when it left the mill there, I have a few photographs at home of myself out at the cavalcade of men that brought this cylinder to the boat in Liverpool and I don't know where they are. I get them for you if you like. It's sometime.
I would. I'd love to see them. And it's extraordinary.
They had this huge big cylinder on a flat trailer, you know, and brought it all the way over to Liverpool and crossed both to Ireland, and it was eventually installed in the mill, you know, huge cylinder. And the old cylinder was taken out. It was only about half the size and was left over in the hay shed there for years, lay there for years. And I remember when the Bruce Shaha became the engineer there, he was looking, I was over there one day with him, and he was looking at that big old cylinder lying there, been lying there for years at the time, and see, what about that? Says he, is there any scrap merchants that take that? And I said, oh, there would be. See, ring a few of them. So I rang a few scrap merchants, and a couple of them had come up and looked at it, and they said, I wouldn't be interested. And then one fellow from Inchicore, what was his name now? I should know his name. Anyway, he came up and looked at it, and he said, I'd take it, all right, he said, but you see, I'll give you £100 for it. So I went and told Bruce that I can sell it for £100. So I said, I wouldn't sell that for £100. Try a few more. So I rang several others, and several fellas came out and said, no, wouldn't take it. He said, so this first fella, I went back to this first fella again, say, can you increase that offer? And he said, no, he said, to get that down to my place, he said, I'd have to break it up. He said, it'd take an army of men to break that thing up, so saw that thing up and get it all into my trucks. So all he gave us was £100. So eventually...
And that's what happened to the old...
The old cylinder. Oh, and eventually goodness. I went back to Bruce and told Bruce, let him have it for 100.
While all that drilling is happening outside, will we take a short break and come back to it again?
Do you want a cup of tea?
I'd love it. We'll take a break.